Word of God. Today I want to talk about the antidote for the sin nature. The antidote, the only antidote, there is only one antidote for the sin nature, and I want to talk about that today. I know this is a 4th of July weekend, and we're going to celebrate, but freedom, we can be free in many ways, freedom from the sin nature, and I'm going to talk about that today. Let's just bow our heads and thank the Lord for his presence. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have anointed us, that you are here today. I pray that you will anoint us with your word, continue to let it flow and touch our hearts, our minds, and our spirits, O Lord, that we will receive what you want us to receive. Your word is fresh anointing. Your word is what we need to know. And I ask you, Lord, to touch us today in Jesus' name. Amen. The only antidote for the sin nature. An antidote is a substance that counteracts a form of poisoning. Something that will counteract the poisoning. If someone is struck by a poisonous snake, he or she is subject to death unless an antidote to counteract that poison is received. I remember our neighbor years ago when Lewis was a baby. Their neighbor, she said, I'm concerned because the baby took the aspirin bottle and took all the aspirin. She said, but she seems to be okay. And I said, I wouldn't trust that. And she said, well, I'll watch her. Well, sometimes it takes more than just waiting and watching. And so she waited and watched, and her baby died because she did not go to the doctor and get the antidote. The poison killed her baby, the little girl. And even though it was slow and it appeared to be okay for a while, there was no difference in the way her little girl acted until suddenly she was in a coma. And the same is true with us. Many times, things that we think are okay in our lives until sin has taken its toll on us, and suddenly we say, you know, I'm doomed. There's poison in my system. We have been poisoned by a nature to sin. And unless we receive the antidote, we will die in our sins. Although the symptoms may not immediately be apparent. The antidote that destroys the poison of the sin nature is the Word of God. The Word of God. How precious is that Word? Every person who is born in this world is born with a nature to sin. In Romans, the 5th chapter, it tells us sin came into the world through one man, through Adam. He sinned, and he passed that nature on to the rest of us, and death through sin. And so death spread to all men, it says. And the psalmist says, surely I was sinful in the 51st chapter of Psalm. He says, surely I was sinful even at birth. You say, well, no, that's not true. Yes, we are born into sin. And he says, sinful from the time my mother conceived me, I was born. Because of the sin of Adam, we all are born with that sin nature. In Romans, the 3rd chapter, as it is written, none is righteous. No, not one. No one has understanding. No one seeks. It's not our tendency to seek for God. All have turned away aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Some people may say, well, I'm a good person. We hear that sometimes. I don't do things that would mess up my life, you know. And I remember a lady that I lived with. When I was 18, 19 years old, I lived in her home, rented a room there, and she was a real good person. She said, I don't understand. Why would I need a redeemer? Why would I need a savior? I've never told a lie. I've never done this and that. And she was, I've never even chewed a piece of gum. I've never drank a Coca-Cola. I've never done anything. And so I tried to tell her. I said, that doesn't have anything to do with it. We have that nature to sin. We are all sinners unless we have the grace of God in our lives. And so how do we get that? And so I married, and I came back a couple of years later, and I brought the baby to show to her. And she said, Naomi, I found out what you were talking about. I was lying in my bed, and I had a vision. I saw all of my good deeds, the good things I had done, and it was like there was filthy vomit that was running over them down. and I realized there was nothing that could change my life except one thing, and that is the blood of Jesus. The Word of God tells us only by the blood of Jesus. So our good, sometimes we hear parents say, I don't understand. I've warned them. I've told them over and over to avoid choices that will lead to destruction, but they do not listen. We tend not to listen. You can take a little kid. I've seen parents, and this is a terrible thing to do, to tell a kid, don't drink that. I don't want you to drink that. And they'll to motivate the kid to drink it. It's not a good lesson, but they tend to do the opposite. And we do the same many times. And these parents say, well, you know, I give my time. I've tried to be a good parent. I've attended church regularly. I've done all of these same things, but somehow I have failed. But it is because there is a nature to sin within each one of us. We must make our choices. Our good intentions and efforts are not the antidote for the sin nature. That's not what heals or cures it. And any more than our talking to and consoling a person who has been bitten by a poisonous snake. We can console them, but the poison must be dealt with. The same is true in our lives. There's absolutely only one antidote for the sin nature, and it is the Word of God. How is it the Word of God? Because it gives us what we need to do. It lays out the plan and tells us how we can kill the poison of sin in our lives. I remember as a child, yes, I had a sinful nature as well. A desire to be like the world and a desire to reject instruction of my parents. There were times I just didn't want to do what I was told. My parents understood that telling me to avoid sin was not enough. Attending church faithfully was not enough. They recognized that it was their responsibility to give me the Word of God. The Word of God. They forced me to hear and even read it aloud. They forced me to read it in our devotions. The Word of God, every morning and every night. I did not always enjoy laying aside my pleasures, the things I wanted to do for that hour of family devotions. And my mind wandered many times and did not focus on the Word, but somehow it took root in my spirit. As a freshman in high school, I skipped lunch and retreated. By then, I had committed my life to the Lord, and I retreated to the locker room to read God's Word because it had become a confidence and a stability for my life. It was more important to me, I realized, that even the earthly, the natural food. In Proverbs 22, the writer there says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. If you look at the literal translation, it's saying, force feed the Word of God to the child. Force feed, you say, oh no, I couldn't do that. But that's exactly what that word, the translation means. Force feed, touch the uvula, which forces swallowing. I see on Dr. Pohl sometimes trying to get the animals to swallow. They have to touch a certain place to force the swallowing. And so he says that's what you must do. Force feed your children the Word of God. I heard a man declare one time, I heard him say, I will not make the choice of belief for my son. Just a little boy. I'm not going to tell him he's got to go do this, he's got to go to church. He can choose for himself, decide for himself when he is growing. What a foolish statement, what a foolish proclamation, and even to do that. The father lived by that, and the day came that he died. I stood by his bed, and he said, tell my son the way of life. He did not tell him. In all those years, he said, no, I'll let him decide. Well, the son is grown, but he is a confused young man. With no belief in God and no zest for life, doesn't even have a purpose. What a tragedy. We are required, according to God's Word, teach our children the Word of God. Cram it down their throats, but the right way, not the wrong way. Ravi Zacharias said, sin will take you farther than you want to go. It will keep you longer than you want to stay, and will cost more than you want to pay. The wages of sin is death. Jesus is called the Logos, or the Word of God, because he, Jesus, embodies the total message of God to man. Without Jesus, we cannot know God. Some people say, I'll get there one way or the other. No, there's not another way. It is only through Jesus. The Word of God tells us that. The Word, it says in Hebrews, the writer says, the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The Word of God will separate the flesh of the fleshly desires from what the Spirit of God desires for you. In the beginning, it says in John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Who was the Word? It says the Word was God. Jesus is the living Word. He is the Word. He was in the beginning with God. In Colossians, the first chapter, it says, in him, in Jesus, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. In Jesus, all of God's nature, all of his fullness dwelled in him. In Psalms 119, David said, how can a young man keep his way pure? We see a lot of immoral activity, a lot of impurity in our world today. The Bible says, that David says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. God's word is the antidote for the sin nature. He said, with my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart. Why have I stored it in my heart? That I might not sin against you. God has given us his word for that purpose. Not only should we feed the word of God to our children, but we must feed ourselves with the word of God in order to live a victorious life. A life that is conquering over sin and degradation. Many young people today get started in things they should not, in drugs, because of peer pressure. But if the Word of God is established in our hearts, we know that the Bible tells us not to follow after the peer pressure, that what other people do, but to what God tells us to do. Some may believe that because Jesus died to take away our sins, we are automatically saved from hell and eternal separation from God. Because he died automatically, that makes it okay. That is not so. We must apply that and accept it. As we meditate on God's word, we receive this antidote to overcome sin. We see God's plan for salvation through Jesus' redemptive sacrifice. This is the only antidote to free us from the poison of sin, the word of God that points us to the way of salvation. In John 3, Jesus told Nicodemus how he could have eternal life. This young ruler came to him at night and he said, how can I have eternal life? And Jesus said, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus was a teacher and he said, I don't understand what you're talking about. And Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. What he was talking about when they were in Egypt and the people were murmuring, complaining, and being disobedient. And so God said, you erect a serpent, a pole, and on that put a bronze serpent. And when they are bitten, and they were dying from the bite of the snakes, and he said, when the people are bitten, if they will look at that snake, look at that serpent on that pole, they will not die. I'm telling you, he said, just like that. He said, that's the way whoever believes in him may have eternal life. He said, if you believe in Jesus, if you believe in me, you will be like that. You will have the poison of sin removed from your life, and you'll have eternal life. And then he went on to say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. It didn't say he shall not. He said should not. You've got to believe in him. You've got to look to that sacrifice. Let it be applied to your life. It's not automatic. He said, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. Some people think that God sent Jesus, or God is there to hit you with a big bat and just wait for you to make a mistake and he's going to knock you down. He said, God did not do that. He did not. He said, he did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. We must believe and let it be applied to our lives. Take it, say, I look to the cross, I look to Jesus. And I have told you before about this man to whom my husband ministered, and he was lying in the hospital bed, and he had always been very adamant against preachers, against anything in the Bible. He was a very worldly and an ungodly man, but he lay in the hospital, and he called. We got a call, my husband did, and the son of this man said, my dad is asking for you to come. And so my husband went to the, we lived in Casa Grande, we drove up to North Phoenix, and we walked in, and the man said, preacher, I would have never wiped my manure boot on a preacher, never. But I have watched your life, and I'm lying here between this world and death and the world to come. I need you, he said, read to me. He didn't say talk to me. He said, read, get your Bible, read. And he was very adamant, read. And so my husband began to read. And he said, he read to him, and the guy said, well, it sounds good. It sounds good, but it's not for me. And he said, be back tomorrow at 4 o'clock. And, he was very demanding. And my husband said, I'll be here. And he came, and if he was 2 minutes late, the phone was ringing. Where are you, preacher? So anyway, it's pretty important that we keep our appointments according to what we tell people we will do. As much as is within our power, we need to stand by that. And so my husband came in, and he said, read. Read, preacher, read. And he began to read. And he did that about 5 days in a row. This guy kept saying, it sounds good, preacher, but it ain't for me. It ain't for me. And then finally the day came, and he said, you don't know what kind of man I have been, what kind of man I am. Well, he said, my husband said, but you don't know what kind of God we serve. You don't know how God loves us. No matter where you've been, he's going to pick you up. All you have to do, the one thing, is believe that it's for you. It is for you. And so finally the day came, and he said, okay, preacher, it's for me. I take it. It's for me. And we stood by his bed a few days later and watched him pass from this world to another world with a smile on his face. And he said, it is for me. But I'm telling you that God so loved this world that he made a sacrifice. We say, but you don't know how bad my sin is. But you don't know how great the grace of God is. You don't know how much God loves you, so much that he was willing to die for you. God does not redeem us based on our good works, the way we live or who we are. Prestige, he does not base it on our own righteousness. In Titus, the writer said, Paul said, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to God's mercy, his mercy, he saved us. By the washing of regeneration and by the Holy Spirit, which he shed on us abundantly. How? Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. He didn't do it any other way. We can't earn it. We can't buy it. We cannot be good enough for it. It's only through Jesus. In Ephesians, Paul wrote the first chapter. He said, in him we have redemption. How? Through his blood. The forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Is it any wonder that the only antidote for the poison of the sin nature is the Word of God? It's no wonder, because the Word of God gives us the absolute every step that we must take. If we follow that Word, we'll find redemption and eternal life. The Word of God instructs us to trust in the cleansing blood of Jesus as the only acceptable way to God. Some people say, well, I know that we all are on a path and we'll all get there someday. You know, he this way and me this. No, only the blood of Jesus. The Word of God tells us only by the blood of Jesus. In Romans, Paul says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So there are the two prerequisites. We must believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord. I believe, like the thief that hung on the cross beside him, and he, one of them, ridiculed. He said, if you really are who you say you are, why don't you just say, get us off this cross. If you're God, just take us down. But that wasn't God's plan. The other thief said, why are you talking that way? We deserve what we are getting. Many people don't like to face the consequences. They want to excuse it and say, well, if God were really God, he'd get me out of this pickle. Well, but Jesus looked at the thief and said, remember me, Lord, when you come into your kingdom. He acknowledged that Jesus was Lord. When you come into your kingdom, remember me. And Jesus said, today, this day, you'll be with me in paradise. It didn't take a whole lot. There are some people, I never tell somebody that I know exactly what their destination is. When I've had funerals, and I get a notice that somebody has passed out of this body and they've gone on. I don't make that assumption. That I don't care what kind of life they lived. I don't make the assumption because I do not know. But I advise you, make the decision. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. But God is a merciful God. So Paul says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you believe Jesus died and he was resurrected, there are a lot of people who have died for good causes, but they were not resurrected back to life. And Jesus was raised, and he said, you'll be saved, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. So we have the recipe or the ruler this before us, the Word of God. It tells us all of this, and we need to really feed ourselves and our children and those for whom we are responsible, the Word of God, because it is the only hope of our salvation and being forgiven for our sins. If today you have not made Jesus the Lord of your life, and perhaps you're watching this telecast, and you would like to make him Lord of your life, or you acknowledge, I would like for you just to agree with me in prayer as I pray. And if you're here today in the congregation, agree with me. Lord Jesus, too long I've kept you out of my life, and I know that I'm a sinner. I acknowledge my sins and that I cannot save myself. According to your word, the Word of God, and by faith, I receive your gift of salvation. And I trust you as my Lord and Savior. I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins and that you rose the third day. Thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true, and I now receive you as my Lord. I receive you into my heart. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. If you have accepted Jesus today by believing in your heart and accepting him, you are now a child of God. Of course, that's not the end of the journey. I have told you, how do we overcome the allure of sin? By the Word of God. We must keep ourselves in the Word of God. Amen. Thank you for joining us today at Living Waters Community Church in Casa Grande, Arizona. May you have a wonderful and blessed week. I don't know if there might be somebody here today that you need special prayer. I know we took prayer requests earlier, but if you want prayer, we're here to pray with you. We want to support you. We're not here to condemn, but we're here to pray with you if you want prayer.